Hello, and welcome to the ICD-10 Essentials for Providers. This is the first webinar in a series of three that are designed to promote awareness and education on the changes needed to implement ICD-10. This webinar will go over the impacts of the final rule, begin to show you the key areas of impacts to typical provider offices, and some strategic steps for successful implementation. There is no doubt the task ahead of us can be a daunting one, with many other initiatives competing for our time and resources. ICD-10 implementation will require strategic plans to help alleviate the burdens. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, otherwise known as HIPAA, of 1996 includes provisions for the standardization of healthcare information. These administrative simplification provisions include standards for electronic transmissions of claims, provider identifiers, privacy and code sets. A national committee of the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, has worked extensively over the past several years to develop recommendations that meet the HIPAA requirements. Committee discussion of code sets has been lengthy and controversial due to the potential cost of the transition to new and revised code sets in terms of infrastructure, think your computer software, anticipated delays in billing at startups, and costs associated with training and education. The National Center for Health Statistics, or NCHS, developed ICD-10-CM, International Classifications of Diseases, 10th Revision, Clinical Modifications, in consultation with a technical advisory panel, physician groups, and clinical coders to assure clinical accuracy and utility. There are no codes for procedures in the ICD-10-CM, and procedures are coded using the procedure classification that's actually appropriate for the encounter setting, such as physicians in the outpatient setting will continue to use CPT or HCPCS, as well as ICD-9-CM. ICD-10-PCS will replace ICD-9-CM Volume 3, and ICD-10-CM will replace ICD-9. On January 15, 2009, HHS released the final regulation to move from the current ICD-9-CM coding system to the ICD-10 coding system beginning October 1, 2013. This timeline allows for time to plan and implement this regulatory change. The final rule to update the current 4010 electronic transaction standard to the 5010 transaction standards was also published at this final time. It was set for the implementation of January 1st of 2012. Version 5010 provided the framework that was needed to support ICD-10 diagnosis and procedure codes and was the prerequisite to implementing ICD-10. Then, on January 20th, 2009, the White House released a memorandum placing a hold on all regulations that included the ICD-10 rule. In March of 2009, a determination was made that the effective date would not be extended and the comment period would not be reopened for either 5010 or ICD-10. It's very important to understand how far-reaching the impact is on ICD-10. It's not about going out and buying a brand new code book and being ready for the next code year. It's not just about the code sets themselves. Actually, when we talk about ICD-10 implementation, the codes are one small subset that we'll have to learn and change in our practices. ICD-10 will require careful strategic planning in order to be successful. Now, oftentimes I get asked how we can relate the implementation to ICD-10 with other industry initiatives, and I place this one warning out there for all providers. In the year 2000, with Y2K, we turned on our computers after dire warnings, and they worked. With HIPAA implementation, if we weren't ready, we could open our doors and do business as usual. There were no HIPAA police back then. No one monitoring us. It was okay, we thought, to go ahead until we got ready. There were no payment disruptions. However, with ICD-10, if we're not strategic in our planning and successful in our implementation, if we can't get claims out the door, we will have no revenue coming into our practices. That's one significant change from all the other governmental mandates. So now let's just take a look. These next slides are going to take a look and a walk around the typical provider's office to show you where some of the key impacts are actually going to be with ICD-10 implementation. So let's start first with the medical practice in the manager's office. One hurdle facing the administration is the impact of ICD-10-CM to your health plan contracts and medical policies. Health plans will most likely modify contracts when moving to ICD-10-CM. Steps when analyzing this impact could include identifying your contracts where reimbursement is tied to particular diagnoses, contacting your payers and discussing potential changes to existing contracts, determining the timing of contract negotiations, modifying those agreements as needed, and then communicating any contract changes to your appropriate staff. In general, current medical policy is based upon the ICD-9 code set and corresponding nomenclature. Each and every medical policy will need to be reviewed and updated for the new ICD-10 code sets. Many of the services and procedures performed in a medical practice are tied to a health plan medical policy. Should contracts or policies change significantly to include more specific diagnosis requirements, substantial adjustments in our practices will be necessary. Because of the greater specificity of the new code set and the opportunity to report the severity of a patient's condition in more detail, it is anticipated most health plans will require a more detailed level of specificity in reporting. Using an unspecified ICD-10 code will, in most cases, cause further review by the carrier. Participation in health plans should be reviewed, as with the medical policy changes, the practice may end the association with a particular plan and may participate in other plans not yet contracted with. Many insurance carriers and government payers require performance measures that are tied to our diagnosis codes. Under ICD-10-CM, performance measures will necessitate a review and potential change in reporting. It may take time for the healthcare industry to incorporate performance measures based under ICD-10 codes. Since reimbursement is tied to procedural and diagnosis coding, the finance area will be impacted greatly. For example, after the implementation date, if an insurance carrier cannot yet accept ICD-10-CM codes, the medical practice will probably not be paid. If your practice is not ready and cannot transmit claims, finances will be impacted as well. Review the current reporting for procedures and services using ICD-9 codes and compare them to ICD-10 codes. Contact your system vendors to determine whether they can support both the legacy and the new coding system and for how long. Contact your vendors immediately upon beginning implementation planning to find out their schedule for ICD-10 implementation. This is an ideal time to identify costs for upgrading software and storage capacity, as well as contract issues with the vendor. This will help the system conversion budget over the next several years. This is also the time to ensure the vendor will be able to assist with the transition and scheduling, testing, and conversion. Vendors will be extremely busy with testing and installing new hardware and software for up to 2 years prior to ICD-10 implementation, so getting on the vendor's list now is extremely important. Determine if software upgrades are included in your current contract or if there's any additional costs. Check contract language to see if governmental updates are included at no charge. If upgrades are not included, inquire as to what costs will be incurred. Coordinate with your vendor on their timeline for testing and installation of the new or upgraded software or systems. Don't forget training on the new systems if the decision is made to change or upgrade. Make sure these costs are included in your budgets. If the vendor has user group meetings, this is an ideal time to participate. Other IT system considerations might include conversions to EMRs during this transition if the practice hasn't previously converted. Keep in mind that if you're going to transition to an electronic system, you may want to speed up your search and implement earlier so that you are not trying to implement both an EMR and ICD-10 at the exact same time. Transitions to each system will be time-consuming itself. If the practice is conducting any type of trending or disease management tracking, an analysis should be conducted to analyze how reporting and tracking might change with ICD-10. Medical practice forms might need to be updated to reflect the change. If performing disease management tracking via practice management software or EMRs, you need to work with your vendors to make sure that nothing is missed in this translation. Budgets will be crucial over the next couple of years to accomplish ICD-10 implementation. And remember, everyone in the practice will require some level of education. The patient may also be affected by the transition to ICD-10. Insurance coverage determinations should be reviewed based on ICD-10-CM. It's anticipated that health plans will review coverage determinations and what types of conditions they will cover. Treatment decisions a provider makes may be driven by coverage policies, as they are changed to reflect the level of specificity in ICD-10-CM. This change could evolve in changes to insurance coverage and a documentation requirement. While a patient's condition may be covered today with ICD-9-CM codes to support medical necessity, the condition might not be covered with ICD-10-CM. The medical practice will need to review treatment plans for the patient to determine if the patient's insurance will cover their conditions. Practices may have to develop written materials that assist in explaining what changes have been made, why they were made, and also what changes patients may see in their explanation of benefits from health plans. Superbills will not be viable for most practices. Risks and benefits must be discussed, such as, do you continue with paper superbills by removing the listing of diagnosis codes and including an area for providers to write out diagnosis descriptions, or decide to utilize an EMR? Whatever the outcome, it's sure to impact your clinical area, as this is going to be one of the largest hit areas in a medical practice. In the clinical area, documentation will have the largest impact on ICD-10 implementation success long term. Since ICD-10-CM is more robust and has up to 7 characters of specificity, you should verify that your current documentation in the medical record can support ICD-10-CM on the go-live date. Conducting an ICD-10-CM documentation readiness audit can help the practice assess risks and identify future training needs. Your practice should utilize an experienced auditor to conduct the audits either internally or externally. Evaluate random samples and review various types of medical records during these audits. For example, in a surgeon's practice, E&M services, surgical procedures, and other diagnostic services would be reviewed. Make sure the current documentation adequately supports the transition to ICD-10-CM. A clinical documentation assessment tool should be utilized. Take an in-depth look at the current level of documentation in the medical record. Review any lack of specificity in the documentation and analyze how to begin the improvement process. Now, based on your practice's specialty, you're going to review the most common diagnoses that are used and the frequency of each. Most practice management billing software is capable of running a frequency report of the most used procedures and diagnosis codes, which is helpful for reviewing diagnosis code utilization in the practice. Now, in the past, providers, you just used the medical record to document the patient's problems and conditions. But in recent years, medical records have become a tool to document medical histories and to provide a method to track health statistics, to act as a legal document, to justify charges to insurance companies based on medical necessity, and to assess the quality of care. We know there'll be many changes to come for the nursing and clinical assistance to providers. Think about this. Every single order form that you use for diagnostic purposes will need to be changed or revised. Anything that is now houses a diagnosis code will need to be reviewed to make sure that you'll still be able to use them under ICD-10-CM or whether or not you're going to have to remove the diagnosis codes from the diagnostic testing forms. In addition, nurses will need to make sure that they document with the higher level of specificity in order to be able to better assist providers. Think about your prior authorizations or your pre-certifications. All policies on prior authorizations may change due to the new codes. This would require training and updates to all of your forms. In addition, if you're in a surgical practice and you have to do any pre-certifications or prior authorizations, you'll have to make sure that as you get closer to the October 1st of 2014 implementation deadline, that you pre-cert or prior auth those diagnostic codes under the right coding system. This will require a lot of work with your vendors moving forward. Let's face it, labs and even radiology services suffer with us under ICD-9, most often not getting enough information under the limited code sets under ICD-9-CM coding. Laboratories and radiology services rely on the ordering physician to provide a diagnosis code. The biggest problem in the billing process for clinical laboratories is a missing or invalid diagnosis code on orders from physicians. When this happens, contact with the ordering provider occurs. When the ordering provider submits a narrative diagnosis rather than a diagnosis code, the narrative diagnosis may be translated into the appropriate code by trained laboratory staff without direct contact with the ordering provider. Given the expected change in coverage policies and the increased specificity and complexity of ICD-10-CM codes, it's expected that the rate of missing or invalid diagnosis codes on test orders will increase significantly. While the level of expertise needed for translation or narrative diagnoses will exceed the capabilities of current translators, who typically have multiple responsibilities in addition to narrative diagnostic translation. Changes to reimbursement amounts are yet unknown. Currently, reimbursement is tied to the procedure or CPT for most provider offices and the diagnosis code that supports the medical necessity for those services and procedures we're providing. There is speculation in the industry that possibly health plans will conduct in-depth studies as to how to tie reimbursement not only to the procedure, but to the severity of the patient's condition. Many in the healthcare industry are concerned that the extent of reimbursement issues will not be made known until closer to the implementation date or thereafter. With the proposed healthcare reform, there are many unknown issues causing concern in the industry for not only providers but to health plans as well. How will cash flow be affected with implementation? Will all health plans be ready to go live on October 1st of 2014? Many health plans using old legacy systems do not plan on upgrading systems at this time. Rather, they will develop mapping from ICD-9-CM to ICD-10-CM for claim submission. This may cause problems with payment. Not every ICD-9 code maps 1-to-1 to an ICD-10 code. Many map 1-to-2, 1-to-3, or 1-to-many. Some not at all. This potentially will cause delay or denial of payments, which in turn will create a need to review more non-paid claims and increase time and effort to resolve these issues. Claim delays and denials are expensive for any practice. Typically, they can only be resolved through a manual process. Any increase in the number of claims, denials, or claims not processed or paid will decrease your cash flow, increasing both provider and staff workload to process the denials. Billers will need to be educated on dual submissions and the changing policies and procedures. This could affect productivity, requiring more resources. Keep in mind, our code sets are mandated by HIPAA. There are covered entities that are not considered under HIPAA. These type of entities are auto insurances, workers' comp, and those types of liabilities. It will be important to understand that you will be doing dual coding under ICD-10 with ICD-9 as well for multiple carriers for a long time to come. This will be state by state, carrier by carrier. It will be important for your billing department to have a good understanding of these requirements. Coders will need to learn the new code sets. Keep in mind that your code set training needs to come at the right time. Coders should actually get code set training closer to 2014. It won't take years for coders to learn the code sets. If the codes are learned too early, productivity will be an issue. ICD-10-CM currently houses about 69,000 codes. Although coders will need to have a good understanding of all of the guidelines, the index, and the code lookup process, as well as all of the instructional notes, they won't be using the entire code book. So memorization is not going to be key under ICD-10-CM. It will be important for coders to get staged education in order to make it the most effective. In addition, coders will have to be able to code under ICD-9-CM and under ICD-10-CM for a long time to come. Practices may have to develop written materials that assist in explaining what changes have been made, why they were made, and what changes patients may see in their explanation of benefits from health plans. The patient, as previously discussed, will also be affected by the transition to ICD-10. It's anticipated that the health plans will review their coverage determinations and what type of conditions they will cover. It's important for a practice to have an understanding that anything that's tied to a medical necessity or policy within a health plan will need to be revised to meet the new ICD-10 codes. If practices finely tuned HIPAA privacy notices with diagnostic information, and this really probably roughly affects about 1 or 2% of the population, they may need to be revised, although this probably won't affect many practices. It's important to be aware, though, if you made any major changes to a typical HIPAA privacy notice, you will need to review it. In addition, your front staff will need to be educated on any changes made in your health systems or health plan participations. Strategic planning is needed for ICD-10 implementation. As we've previously discussed, there's many caveats to implementing ICD-10. It's not just about the codes, and quite simply cannot be accomplished by buying that new code book, no matter what the size of your practice. You will want to begin to build your strategy early on. One key obstacle to overcome is the resistance to change. For many providers and coders, just finding the time to learn the new system is going to be a challenge. The challenge of updating skills and learning a new system will be enough to drive some out of the profession. On the positive side, however, the advantage of the greater specificity in the new codes and the accuracy due to the migration to EMRs is a sign of encouragement. The need to update skills is not limited to our medical coders. The medical staff must also be educated on ICD-10-CM, which includes the appropriate level of specificity found in our documentation. For many implementation projects in larger practices or facilities, a cross-functional team represents various departments' plans and oversees the efforts. Clear leadership will be critical. Establishing a steering committee in your practice to spearhead the ICD-10 transition effort is highly recommended. Now, this team should be comprised of high-level stakeholders or reputed experts who will be asked to provide guidance on the overall strategic direction of your ICD-10 implementation. Project team members should include managers or directors who are involved with the business objectives. This leadership group should work independently, but needs to get help from the executive level staff when needed and report periodically to the practice's strategic team. The team should also include at least one physician, an administrator or manager, coder, biller, and other key staff clinical members. In smaller practices, it's not necessary to develop multiple committees. The practice will need physician support for successful implementation, no matter what the size. So involve physicians early so they understand the importance of the preparation as the migration to ICD-10 occurs. The team should meet initially to begin to identify the elements necessary for a smooth transition. The project team will be an integral part of the program now and through compliance in 2014. So let's talk about organizing our implementation effort. It really should include the following processes. First, you want to review the ICD-10 final rule for any pertinent areas that might impact your practice. You want to obtain senior management support and practice buy-in. Complete your preliminary analysis of your system impacts and prepare briefing materials for providers and staff to review relating to the work and the scope that needs to be actually accomplished. Don't forget to identify your senior manager project supporter. Once you establish your senior management's role in completing the project, you're going to obtain support from all of your providers. You want to make sure to talk with providers about ICD-10 and the impact it will have on the practice. Identify all of those areas that will impact the practice, such as your clinical areas, your systems, your documentation, and so on. Be sure to share this information with the providers. Establish a regular schedule that will report to your senior management. Be sure to develop timelines to keep you on track for implementation and revise them and review them often. You will also need to initiate a budget. Now, in a smaller practice, this is harder to accomplish. However, it is completely necessary. Until you do an impact assessment in your own practice, you will have no idea of the true cost to implement. Cost studies currently on the market are not representative of most practices. If you don't need technology upgrades, your cost to implement will be significantly less than what's been reported in the industry. For ICD-10 implementation, methods of communication will depend on the size of your practice. Now is the time to develop your communication plan for ICD-10 implementation. Delaying the communication plan and its implementation could actually hinder your final goals and objectives. Consider and determine all employees and business areas first when developing a communication plan. Determine what people or groups of people within the practice you will include in the communication plan. For all groups identified, determine what their communication needs are. For example, certain managers may have a need for a status update more often than physicians and staff. The steering committee or project team members might need more information than others within the practice, such as the project status, strategy, or vision. Now, communication can take many shapes and forms. In each step, formulate a plan on how to fulfill the communication needs for each department, employee, vendor, etc. When possible, look for types of communication that will encompass all of the practice's needs in one format. Your communication plan will set the communication framework for your ICD-10 implementation, and it will serve as a compass for communications throughout the life of your project and should be updated as your communication needs change. The plan should identify and define the roles of persons involved in this project and should include a communications matrix which maps the communication requirements of your projects for those larger practices or facilities. Communication is key to a smooth transition in ICD-10. Developing a written communication plan will take effort, but it will make your implementation much more smooth. Remember to be creative and that the communication effort in your practice must continue for the duration of ICD-10 implementation. Once in place, you will reap the benefits of the written plan, as it will help set priorities, gain the respect of your senior management and the ICD-10 implementation team, and protect you from last-minute information demands, and then bring some order to this chaos. Our next step for success is going to be a sign. Cross-functional teams are a group of employees from a medical practice's functional areas. A cross-functional team might include physicians, nurses, administrative and financial personnel, coders, etc., who are focused on a specific objective and who work together to improve coordination and innovation across your divisions and to resolve your mutual problems. Now, to face ICD-10's complex changes, you're going to incorporate a wide range of styles, skills, and perspectives. Cross-functional teams are a way to manage your collaboration and concept creation. No project the size of ICD-10 can be handled alone or without including representatives who will be impacted by your ICD-10 implementation. You want to make sure that you look for leaders in each department to make up your cross-functional team for a seamless transition. Now, examples of cross-functional teams for usage in ICD-10 development are development of your training programs, choosing and implementing new technologies and procedures, controlling training costs, improving the communication process. Organization is key to any project, including planning your cross-functional team for the ICD-10 project. Make the organizational structure as loose or as formal as necessary for your individual practice, so there's a good mix of involvement and all involved departments contribute and participate equally. To achieve exceptional results, transparency is necessary in the cross-functional team. Successful ICD-10 implementation relies on good communication, as previously discussed, and follow-through. This project will consume more resources than ever required in your practice. Openly share information and details to facilitate your implementation. If transparency is not evident, the project will struggle. Selecting the right cross-functional teams from the start is essential. Now, once your team's assembled, look from within for that inspirational leader to kind of keep the group focused and motivated to move forward. Make that person responsible for the group and for tracking progress. Now, this person has to be flexible, motivated, and willing to let others shine for the good of the group. They can't be territorial. They need to be a cheerleader for change and stay positive during the transition. Our next step is to assess. To do this, we're going to do an impact analysis. The goal of an impact analysis is to determine which areas and systems within our practice will be impacted and require changes. Information relevant to each of our practice departments must be obtained in order to understand our current environment and to assist in mapping out what needs to be addressed for successful ICD-10 implementation. When assessing information systems, a comprehensive audit of all data systems that currently use ICD-9 have to be assessed. Once you have performed a comprehensive audit of your IT systems, map the electronic data flow to inventory all practice reports that contain I9 codes now. After that, perform a detailed analysis of necessary changes to be implemented for the transition to ICD-10. You're going to need to contact software and hardware vendors during your analysis phase to identify potential costs that will impact your budget. In analyzing what processes might be affected by ICD-10 implementation, begin with your clinical area. Then move to the business area and your systems impacted. The wide scope of the impact of ICD-10 will probably surprise most of those healthcare practices. It's estimated that this process will likely take 3 to 4 months at a minimum to complete, depending on the size of your practice. In the clinical area, documentation will have the largest impact on ICD-10-CM implementation success. Since ICD-10 is so much more robust, has up to 7 characters of specificity, you should verify that your current documentation in the medical record can support ICD-10 on the go-live date. Conducting an ICD-10 documentation readiness audit can help your practice assess the risk and identify future training needs. Another large hurdle facing the clinical area is the impact of ICD-10 to our health plan contracts and medical policies. They will be modified. Some steps that you want to think about when analyzing your impact include: identify your contracts where reimbursement is tied to particular diagnoses. Contact your payers and discuss potential changes to existing contracts. Determine the timing of your contract negotiations. Modify any agreements as needed. And be sure to communicate contract changes to your appropriate staff. You will also want to make sure that you assess skills and abilities to make sure everyone will be ready for the higher level specificity that's found in ICD-10. Our next step to success is to plan. A typical ICD-10 business plan describes the business problem, possible solutions, the risks and the benefits of each course of action, and the solution recommended for compliance assurance. The scope of this document is proportional to the size and risk of our project. Larger, riskier, and more expensive projects typically warrant a more formal and quantitative assessment of the business rationale. Now, this business plan will help communicate the objectives of our project, and it's going to provide necessary information to create business requirements. Establishing the business plan helps pinpoint the specific obstacles and costs of a proposed solution or necessary information for administration as the implementation of ICD-10 proceeds. By describing our risks, the business plan also allows decision makers to determine their risk tolerance level and establishes a realistic expectation of the risk that's associated with the project. Contingency planning should be a part of your business plan. By including information on all reasonable alternatives, the business plan serves as a valuable document in the implementation effort for the practice. If a contingency plan is needed, administration can review the relative merits of all the available options instead of making decisions in a vacuum. The results should dismiss any contingency alternatives that do not demonstrate value. Now we're going to begin to prepare for our implementation. Keep in mind, vendors will play an important role in the implementation of ICD-10 from a system perspective. If your practice is using purchased applications, software will need to be upgraded and installed along with the electronic transaction modifications. If your practice has developed internal systems design customizations, information technology should be involved with your I-10 project team and work closely with your vendors for this conversion. Vendor readiness will play a large part in your successful implementation of both 5010 and ICD-10. Without good communication and strategic planning, delays on your implementation could leave your practice without vital revenues. Most medical practices rely more heavily on vendors than the large hospital systems do. Vendors provide hardware and software for the practice management systems, EMR, and other software programs used. Practices have to begin working early with the vendors to determine what implementation plans vendors have in place for our conversion, what software changes are needed, what product and services will be available, what changes are required to accommodate all applications within the organization that uses coded data, how long software development will take, how we can increase system storage capacity to support both ICD-9-CM and ICD-10-CM simultaneously. When your vendor will be ready to begin testing and implementing their products and services in the practice. When vendors will actually schedule installations, and what other guidance and assistance vendors will provide during the rollout. Our next step is to train everyone. Keep in mind that everyone will need some level of training. Education is a critical success factor in successful implementation of ICD-10. A comprehensive ICD-10 education and training program is necessary to meet the needs of your practice in your efforts to implement the new code set. Determining whether you will use external or internal trainings for ICD-10 implementation is your first step toward your educational goals. Discussion of goals and budgets can help you determine what's best for your practice or facility. It is possible that it may take you several months to a year to develop a practical education and training plan for your practice. Begin the training process in your practice. Don't wait until the last minute. Remember HIPAA? Was your practice prepared well enough in advance, or did you wait until the month before implementation to prepare for this change? You need to allow, at minimum, a year to complete training for your entire group. For physicians, coders, and non-physician practitioners, it's a good idea for this group to participate in a full course or to have an instructor, either internal or external, plan a curriculum over several months to cover all avenues of ICD-10 coding. Use real case studies from the medical record so the training makes sense to the providers and coders in the practice. Even if you outsource the coding and have an instructor providing training in-house, provide them with copies of your notes to use in their training handout. A post-test is helpful to determine if participants understand the new ICD-10 coding concepts. Keep in mind, any documentation issues should be addressed in training with your providers. Reinforce the importance of specificity required in ICD-10 and that the documentation is going to be key. Formulate a training schedule. For example, 1 year prior to implementation, you might focus on e-learning, audio conferences, or seminars to get ready for ICD-10, and then 4 to 6 months prior to the implementation, the training would be more in-depth so that everyone has a good understanding of the ICD-10 code set trainings. Testing is going to be very important. Vendors should begin internal testing on ICD-10 no later than November of 2013. That means they should test their software, crosswalks and mapping, and other issues that are relative to implementation within your practice. Partner testing should begin no later than September 2014. However, it's recommended that the vendor install the new software and test the system end-to-end at least 6 months prior to implementation in case there are errors or problems to resolve. To ensure that coders are ready to be deployed, the system should be retested end-to-end at least 3 months prior to implementation. If your EMR is not integrated with the practice management system, the EMR vendor will also need to install the upgraded software and test your system for compliance. This upgrade and testing should occur within 6 months of implementation. Remember the lesson we learned with 5010 implementation and the struggles we faced due to inadequate testing. Do not allow a vendor to tell you that they don't need to test with you individually. Make them get you on their testing timeframes to make sure that their solutions actually work for you as well. Our next step is going to be implemented. This is where all of your hard work pays off. The go-live date is October 1st of 2014. On this date, only ICD-10 codes can be submitted. ICD-9 codes for HIPAA-covered entities will no longer be accepted. Now, if you followed our steps, you should be prepared and ready for this implementation date. Our next step is to evaluate. We're not done with just ICD-10 implementation. No program or change is ever complete unless we go back and evaluate to make sure that it's actually working. There's a lot of times when ideas look good on paper, or in theory, they sound like they're going to really work. However, in practical applications, they just don't cut it. It's going to be very important for you to go back and reevaluate everything your practice has done. Reassess compliance. Is your documentation still meeting the highest level of specificity that's found in the ICD-10 coding? Are all of your policies and procedures up to date with the new medical necessity requirements, payer policies, etc.? What about your revenue streams? Do you have claims going out and money coming in? What is your aging report now looking like? And is someone monitoring those very vital, important steps that you need to make sure that you get paid under ICD-10 implementation? An evaluation process is going to be extremely important for us moving forward with ICD-10 implementation. Monitoring and evaluation is key to continue for success under ICD-10 implementation. So, in conclusion, during the transition period, which could range from the first 6 to 12 months, you're going to see increased levels both from a coding and claim submission standpoint to the claim adjudication process. It could be problematic. In addition, within your practice, it's likely that there'll be increased inquiries from coders regarding code set selection and increased billing inquiries from the health plans. Resolution may require hiring additional temporary staff to assist with pending and denied and delayed claims. Another area of concern will be the increase of the review of and auditing of charges for compliance in order to comply with the more extensive documentation that ICD-10 requires. Reviewing the documentation post-implementation, as previously discussed, might involve retraining if compliance has not been achieved prior to implementation. It's a good idea to continue to monitor procedures and services on an ongoing basis, but of course, continue to pay special attention to your documentation in relation to the I-10 coding as well. It's really important post-implementation, as previously discussed, to monitor your coding productivity to ensure that your productivity actually increases over time. It may take a year to see productivity return pre-implementation status, depending on the strategic steps and the training that you've received. Making sure providers, coders, and other staff have the appropriate training and periodic refreshers on the new code set will ensure that claims are submitted correctly and that documentation supports medical necessity for the services provided and reported. There will be problems associated with implementation that's going to need immediate resolution. The most troublesome issue is claims denial, claim delays, and payment disruptions. In order for a practice to stay healthy, it's got to have a healthy cash flow. However, this is one of the most extensive transitions that healthcare has ever seen in decades. It involves all business areas of medicine in the practice to stay healthy. And for a practice to stay healthy, it must have a healthy cash flow. Teamwork is needed for us to be successful. But we can do it. I know we can. There's no doubt the implementation of ICD-10 will require resources and budget money. However, strategic planning can help lessen the cost and keep our resources aligned with all our demands. There will be two more webinars in our awareness training with the essentials of ICD-10. Please stay tuned for the next webinar.